I'm expediting just a little bit this morning, and because we have a very special guest, and if you guys upstairs, if you'll bring up that slide for me. This morning, I had not met this fella until I forgot now what month it was. Last August, I had not met this fella before in my life. But I want to tell you, I'd heard about him, but I got to meet him in person, and what a blessing it was, and it still is. This is a guy that's on the cutting edge of carrying the gospel into all the world. This is a guy, right, that knows how to combat wildfires. He knows how to motivate brick masons, okay? I'm talking about David Hodges, and he is and his wife and family can't be here today. I wish they could have, but maybe next time, right? Pastor David, I asked him, I said, do you want to be called pastor, bishop, missionary? He said, just call me David. But he is missionary to Peru. He is the president of Great Commission Outreach International and also oversees the IPHC and the Awakening in Peru. He's just, and I'm not saying this just because he's here, but I saw it firsthand. He is doing a great job carrying the gospel to a very crowded part of the world. And I say that because it took us 5 hours to get from one side of Lima, Peru, to the other side in a bus. And those of you that Carrie and Nathan were also on that trip to Peru. But would you give David Hodges a great voice of praise welcome this morning?
It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This morning, I want to start by saying thank you to this church for joining with us last year as we were building, as we began the building down in Puerto Maldonado. The name of the city actually means the cursed gate, the cursed gateway, the cursed doorway, or the cursed port. But we believe and we know that the Lord has taken us to Puerto Maldonado in such a time as this to see revival begin in that city. This city is a city that God has began to move in generations past. And I don't mean to speak that it's dormant totally, because it's not. But there is definitely this slumber that has come over the local church. But as we began to come into the church and as we began to minister to the church body as a whole in the city, we began to see God move, and there was an invitation by the Spirit. There was an invitation by the Lord. There was an invitation by the local church that we could come and begin to minister together with the local church. And when I say the local church, I mean Assemblies of God, International Pentecostal Holiness, the Church of God, the Assemblies of God of Brazil, with the Baptist churches and the Methodist churches. There was this call to come and be part of what was happening. So we went, and God has begun to move. And on this piece of land, just to give you a little update about what is happening, Cesar, a young man from our church in Lima, you guys were with Cesar. He was the young man, really muscular, go-getter. He's the one that was down there coordinating all of the construction and everything that was going on there. And Cesar, with Cesar, Benjamin, and Margarita and Angie, they had been down there from our local school, The Awakening, in Lima. We sent them up there to get ready for your team to come. So they had gone up there. They were there a month before you guys arrived, before the team arrived. So they had been in preparation. The team came. We fought the fire together. We put the fire out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We started the church. We baptized the person. We dedicated a child. There was salvations that day. There was discipleship happening. Children's church going on. It was magnificent. I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting to see the beginning. And you guys can already tell that I'm about ready to say, but. But, at the end of this time, we had sent these students out to begin doing the discipleship and getting ready for the team to come because we were planning on starting a church, right? We're going out there. We purchased a big piece of land, 11 acres. We're going to put a big building on it. So there has to be people coming. So you already expect for something to happen. You know, the interesting thing is that we didn't actually have a pastor for the church we were starting. We were praying and we were praying hard. But we knew that God was moving on some of these young people that we were sending out there. God had already spoken to us that God had somebody, one of those we're going to raise up, we're going to rise up and answer the call. So we sent them out there. Now they had been trained in the Word. Cesar had been brought up in our church. We lifted weights together. Cesar and I love to lift weights. I love steel. We started with concrete and tires and just lifting tires, and then the tires weren't enough, so we put concrete in the tires, and that was too much, but you know, it was all good. It couldn't lift them up, so we got a little bit smaller and put 5-gallon buckets with some steel and put some concrete in them, and then we could do that. So then we invested in a little gym outside the church and started busting the concrete. Not the concrete on the bars, but the concrete floors. So, continued to grow and grow and grow with Cesar, and we began to do discipleship together. And I asked Cesar, I said, Cesar, I want to start to bring you into the awakening. And Cesar said, no, I don't want to be in the awakening. Doing missions and stuff, that's not really up my line. I want to do this. I said, okay, then will you let me disciple you? And he said, yes, I'll let you disciple me. So I brought him into the awakening. He just didn't know that it was the awakening yet. So he had began part of the awakening. We started out and the end of 2022 brought him into the awakening. He didn't realize that he was in the awakening, but that's what he was doing. Come into 2023, I told him he was part of the awakening. He said, no, I'm not. I said, you've already been in the awakening. You're going to continue. So he continued in the awakening, brought him down, got the church ready. We were down there. The church, you guys came. We built the building. And then at the end of 3 months, living in a tent, just a solar power battery to be able to charge his phone with, a couple of solar lanterns. At the end of 3 months, I called up and I said, okay guys, it's time to come home. Everybody else came home, but Cesar said, I want to stay. I want to take care of this. I want to do here what you did in Jicamarca, Pastor David. I want to start taking care of this church. I want to work with these kids. And so, Cesar has continued to work down there. We're continuing to see growth. Now the adults, he said, Pastor David, I need somebody to come down here with me and help me. So we're sending a team down to come and help him for a little while, to go and help him for a little while this year. But Cesar said, the adults are coming. He said, I have as many adults now coming as I do kids. He was just expecting to be a kids pastor, basically, and do sports. But now he has adults coming. He's like, I need help. I need somebody to come and help me organize this. So now we are excited to tell you guys, there's adults coming. There's kids coming. We have this building. We need a roof. It's a $24,000 project. We only need $9,000 more. We've been raising the funds for it. People have been supporting and putting money into it. So we need a roof on this building that we put up. So we're praying for that. We got all the walls up. Everything's ready. We just need a roof. So, and Puerto Maldonado, it rains. And when it rains cats, dogs, and elephants. Just saying. There's no elephants in Peru except for when it rains in Puerto Maldonado. So that's a little update on the local church. Now I want to tell you a little bit about what God is doing in Peru. We believe that God has called us to make war. You see, life is war. In just a minute, I'm going to show you just a little video, and the sound of it kind of is that intense sound, because we know that God has called us in this moment to make war. You see, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You see, in Spanish it actually says, and in the Greek it says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent rapta. That means to take it, to almost, the word is kind of like a kidnapping. It's like taking something by force. It's not just going in and taking over a city. It's actually taking it and running with it. You see, we've been called in the time that we are in from John the Baptist and on. That means till today, the kingdom of God is suffering violence. You see, we are called to go out and not just to be passive in the style of evangelism, but to actually be evangelists, to do the work of evangelists. All of us are called to do the work of an evangelist. Timothy wasn't an evangelist. Timothy was a pastor. But Timothy was told by his pastor, by his apostle, by Apostle Paul, he was told, do the work of an evangelist. What is the work of an evangelist? If we look at the woman at the well, was she an apostle? Was she a prophet? Was she a teacher? Was she a helper in the church? This woman was stealing husbands. 20 minutes with Jesus, she ran out to a city and just told them, you guys have to come and see this. She became news. She was already news. I mean, she was the husband stealer. She was the news in every woman's mouth. Better be careful with that one. She's going to steal your husband if she's close to him. She was already news. But something shifted in her life when she came in contact with the good news, the man who was the news from heaven. When you look at God's message throughout the whole New Testament was, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Son of God is the message of heaven. And so when she caught a glimpse of who this is, He is the river of life that flows from the throne of heaven. He is the one that we worship. It's not about just trying to find some place to worship. We are worshiping Him day and night, night and day. The hallelujahs arise. We call to the Lamb of God every day and every moment of our lives. We are calling unto Him in worship. And this woman found Him. Look at the demoniac. Demonized by a legion of demons. Sit at the feet of Jesus for less than 6 hours from daybreak to midday to the sixth hour. When the men of the city come out and told Jesus, please leave. They weren't upset with Jesus. They didn't understand Him. Fear had grasped their heart. Something had grasped the men's heart that saw 1,000 swine jump into the waters of the Sea of Galilee, floating their dead. These demons that loved to live among the dead and had this demonized man living among the dead naked, broken chains. He could break any kind of steel chain that you put on him. He was demonized by a spirit of death. Killed these swine. These men come out and say, please leave. We don't understand who you are. This demonized man sitting at the feet of Jesus for 6 hours. He says, can I follow you? And Jesus says, no. He invites Matthew. He invites Peter. He invites John, he invites James, he invites Andrew, he invites Bartholomew. But he tells an ex-demonized man that only has 6 hours of discipleship, he says, go back into the Decapolis. Go back into 10 cities and tell them what has happened to you. Explain to them. Now he didn't, I don't know, maybe he did. It's not in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of things, the conversations aren't all there. But he's looking at this man. He comes back sometime in the next year. He comes back, crosses the Sea of Galilee. He's on the shore again, and there's 4,000 men waiting for him. You see, all of us are called to take the gospel. In Peru, this past year, in 2022, we took out 200 young people, and we're about ready to show the video. We took out 200 young people. Out into the rivers of the Amazon. These were Peruvians. We had a Brazilian. We had a couple of Venezuelans. We had some young people from Chile, from Argentina, from the United States. And most of them were from Peru. The finances given were mostly Peruvian finances. $38,000 in Peru were raised. That is It is history. It has never been done before. Ever in the history had it been done, especially in the city of Iquitos. We raised $38,000 to begin this movement of revival. To take young people up the Amazon. We took them up 3.5 days. They didn't have 3 months. They didn't have 3 years. These weren't 25-year-old mature young men. These were 12-year-olds to 60-year-olds. And the majority of them were between 17 and 22. We took them out during 3.5 days. They went out. They walked out into the streets. We sent them out like military. We had them in lines on this barge. You're about ready to see the barge. The barge is going to be a quick clip at the very beginning. That barge is 290 feet long, 45 feet wide. We put 200 young people on this. They slept in hammocks. We ate out of a small kitchen, made long lines that were 2 hours long, just trying to get them served. They did 3.5 days of studies of who Jesus is. Just who Jesus is. Who He is and who the Holy Spirit is. And what is the mission of heaven that they've been called to. You see, that's what our co-mission is. It's actually the mission of heaven. It's not our mission. It's not the mission of the church. The church has been co-missioned to complete the mission of announcing Jesus to the nations so that the nations can worship Him. You see, I love souls. I'm a missionary. I love the people. I love the kids. I love the adults. I love the families. But it's not about them. Oh, man. Let me come over here. The mission of heaven is not actually about me. The mission of heaven is actually that God would be adored and worshiped and glorified among all the nations. So it's actually about Him. It's about us finding His love. It's about us finding His mercy. And when we receive His mercy and His grace, us being able to say, "You are magnificent." His mercy is an invitation of worship. This is the amazing thing about the gospel. So these young people, 3.5 days on this barge, Jesus was the first day, Holy Spirit the next day, the third day was the mission of heaven, the fourth day, they were commissioned and they were sent out into the streets within 15 minutes. Walkie-talkies, we had 15 walkie-talkies. Big high-powered things with big old long antennas running up their underarms. These little Peruvian kids running around with these big walkie-talkies. Within 15 minutes, 5 people were just saved. Within an hour, there's a bone that's just been healed by, what was his name? Onesimo. Onesimo just healed a broken bone. Onesimo was 12 years old. I'm sorry, he was 11. He had the birthday on the boat a few days later. He was 11 years old. A broken bone healed. May 13th, 2024, we're taking 300 young people. May 13th, this year, we're taking 300 young people on a barge, 330 foot long, 60 foot wide. We're going on a 15-day excursion. To see the kingdom of heaven expanded. We're going to strengthen the cords of the tent. After Rivers of Fire, we need you to stand with us. Rivers of Fire is the name of the movement. After Rivers of Fire, we're going to go back. Unlike what happened in 2019 with Missions Me when they came to Peru. 11 stadiums full of people. Thousands, tens of thousands of salvations. No discipleship happened afterward. 2022, Rivers of Fire. 9,500 people got saved while we were out on the river with these young people. Hallelujah. 700 baptisms in a kiddie pool. 700 baptisms. Nearly 300 registered healings. Miraculous healings. But we didn't have the finances to be able to go back and plant churches and disciple the people that were saved. 2024, we are continuing to raise funds now to be able to go back and disciple those new salvations. We're starting a mission school in Puerto Maldonado, which you guys are a part of, to be able to take some of these young people that are being trained by us and take them and train them and get them ready to go into the deep jungles. We're building so that we can expand the kingdom, and you guys are part of this. You guys are part of what is happening in Peru. This is going to be an ongoing, continued growth and structure. In 2024, we're going to take these 300 young people out, and we are going to minister the gospel by the thousands. We are going to see salvations by the thousands. We are going to see, I'm praying for over 1,000 baptisms in kiddie pools. We are going to baptize them, preach, and while we are preaching, the most amazing, the most exciting thing that happens. I love the teaching to, okay, it's not the most exciting, but it's the funnest. Let me just say, it's the funnest part of the whole thing. I'll be preaching. I preach the message of the gospel and the healing. I go out, we begin to heal the sick, we call them up, they begin to get healed. The message of the gospel has just been shown that it's true. Somebody gets up and preaches the message of the cross and the blood of Christ with the salvation by His name. They begin to get saved, and immediately we begin to baptize right there in front of the stage. That is the funnest part of it all. Because we get to bring them right into the kingdom, and they're going right through and right into the hands of local pastors. Right into the hands, we're getting their phone numbers. That part excites me. You get young people coming in there, you get people that look like they've been in prostitution the same day, you get people coming in with no shirts, you get all kinds of stuff. But they're coming in because they're recognizing Christ is Lord, and I recognize I need to repent of my sins. I mean, come on, church. There are some exciting things happening. So I want to share with you the video just so that you can get a glimpse of 2022. Ah, where is the video? It's going to be up here? Okay. Are we good? Say that again. All right. Let me read this scripture while they're putting it up. Joel chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." You see, harvest, plowshares, pruning hooks. Harvest is warfare. It's not just something we do. Evangelism is not something we do. Taking the gospel is war. Let's go ahead and show this. Are we ready? There we go. That's the barge. If you want to show this. I get so excited. In just a few weeks, we're heading out again. Just a few weeks, we're going to be back out on the Amazon. Actually, I leave here tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., I leave from Greensboro. Get back to Lima Monday night. We head out back to the Amazon. We will be in Iquitos at the headwater of the Amazon, getting ready with these young people, signing everybody up and getting them trained for the barge and getting everything set up with all the contracts and all the food and all the cooks and everything that has to happen. We'll be back there 1 week from today. We'll be back there Sunday evening to begin moving toward this. So we are asking you to stand with us. We've raised the funds for the barge. We've rented the barge, $55,000. We've been able to secure the finances for the food. We've been able to secure the finances for most of the events. Each one of the events, we have three events. Each one of the events costs $3,000 to be able to execute. That's the rental for the stage, sound, lights. And then for the barge, we are purchasing a couple of pieces of sound equipment, a couple of speakers. So we still have a few needs for this moment, but then the continuation, the planting churches down the Amazon, the entrance way to the unreached people groups. If you will sign up today, you'll be able to get news on a regular basis. We are going to be live on the Amazon with Starlink. We're going to have live video so that you can sign in and see what is happening while it's happening. We won't be able to go into the city necessarily, not 100% sure with the live video, but on the barge, you'll be able to see what is going on. So please sign up. We're going to be sending you some prayer points to your email. And outside, you can see some of the unreached people groups. There are six unreached people groups. The Masés, Ashaninka, Shipibos, the Shawis. They're all right there along the river toward the inside. So we are going to be right on the edge. We are on the cutting edge of reaching the unreached. And we need you to stand with us from here on. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much for standing with us. Real quick, I have three boys. A beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful wife. She's awesome, isn't she? She's wonderful. She's a servant. She's a preacher. She's a discipler, training young people and part of the awakening. Everywhere we go, her favorite thing to do is just sit down and begin to disciple. She loves to disciple. Ceci is her name. I love her to death. I can't wait to get home to her tomorrow. My three boys, one is in Southwestern. He's studying music. Another one is the guy who does all of our videos. That's my second son. He did that video when he was 15, 16. He's now 17 and ready to serve missionaries telling their stories. He wants to be a missionary for missionaries. So that's his focus. My youngest son, he's 13 years old. He loves to worship. He loves the drums, learning guitar. So if anybody wants to come down and do some guitar lessons with us, you can come down and just, we have a couple of young people. Most of our musicians are in their lower teens. That's where most of our musicians are. So hallelujah. God bless. Glory to God. Amen. Now, I know we've already received a little bit of a message, but I want to take you guys quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. I don't know if you can tell, but I love Jesus. He is our message. He is our message. On the barge, we stretch out a big Yeshua on the front of it. We put Jesus everywhere. In Peru, you're not supposed to have a cross in your church or outside your church if you're an evangelical because they say it's Catholic. I told them, my Christ died on that cross, and it is by the cross, by the message of the cross, that we preach and lift him up. So I will have a cross outside and inside my church. I love the cross. The message of the cross is powerful. And by lifting him up, by simply lifting Jesus up, he draws people to himself. When he is magnified and glorified, both in the way that he served among humans, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And then as the way that he died on the cross according to the Gospels, the way that he was resurrected and lived among men and continued to bring the message, and then the way that he was lifted on high to the highest heights, he went down to the lowest places to go down to the lowest place so that nobody could say, I'm too far gone. He went to the highest place so that nobody could say, I'm too far away from him. He is magnificent. He is glorious, and there is no one that will resist him. You may resist him on this side of eternity, but when you get on the other side of eternity, you will kneel before him, and you will proclaim him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Even though for all eternity you will be separated from him, and you will never see him again, and you will never have another opportunity once we pass from this side of eternity to the next. Once we die, we will never have another opportunity. This is our opportunity not to enjoy the sins and the flesh of this world, but to be able to come into the red hot enjoyment of who he is and the love of God. The grace that he has shed abroad. Oh my goodness. I love him. I love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. Through our yielded life, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. We have become the unmistakable aroma of the victory of the Anointed One to God, a perfume of life to those being saved, and the odor of death to those who are perishing. The unbelievers smell the deadly stench that leads to death, but believers smell the life-giving aroma that leads to abundant life. And who of us can rise to this challenge? For unlike so many, we are not peddlers of God's word who water down the message. We are those sent from God with pure motives who speak in the sight of God from our union with Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask you that not just the emotion, not just the excitement, but God, that the actual message that your word brings to us, God, that it would break open over our minds and that it would permeate our hearts in this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask you to anoint the messenger, because your word is already anointed and never returns void. God, I thank you for this day, and I ask you, Lord, to be faithful to your word, God, and bring fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. I want to start there. His grace will not be visible just through the edifice or through a people that are separate by religion. He will always make himself visible in Christ. You see, Christ gave us an invitation to invite him to not just come and, spiritually speaking, kind of like not real, living in my heart. Kind of like the Sunday school thought that Jesus is like in our hearts. In Spanish we would say, en sus corazoncitos, in your little hearts. But you see, he actually makes his throne in our lives. When we invite the Christ of God to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of my life, he is now very present where I am. He is very real. You see, it's not just the fact that we are a people that love Jesus that come together as a church. It's actually that we are a people that love Jesus and come together as a church. It's not that we are just a people come together as a church that love Christ. It's actually that we love Christ and come together as the church. Like, it is a reality of heaven that is established on earth when we come together and live here through and Him through us. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's not just the hope of glory for me. That is the hope of His glory on the earth. You see, God would come down in the form of Holy Spirit and come upon prophets in the Old Testament. It would be momentary. It would be a moment of time. But then He would have to go back. Because the blood of Christ, the blood of the perfect Lamb had not been shed and made ready a people. But now there is a people, and it is us, the church. La plenitud de la revelación de Cristo. The fullness of the revelation of Christ. Sorry, I'm already in Peru today. Sorry about that. The fullness of the revelation of Christ is made known on earth through the church. It is a reality. It is not just something that is kind of by faith. It is a reality that we may not be able to see with our human fleshly eyes. But in the spiritual realm, heaven sees us and hell experiences us. Because as we move together as a church, we are advancing the kingdom. You see, with Rivers of Fire, we are taking 300 young people, and we are not just going out with wonderful songs and impacting. We are going out healing the sick, preaching the word, seeing salvations, baptizing those that are repenting of their sins. There is a direct impact on hell. We are rescuing souls from the clutches of the devil. The same way that you do in Walmart. The same way that you do in the stores. The same way that you do when you go to, I don't know, Kroger's or Publix. I don't know what the stores are locally. When you go to these local stores and you go in and you preach the gospel and a person receives the peace of heaven and they experience Holy Spirit through you and the river of life begins to flow through you to them, the glory of God is now made present right here. The kingdom of God is at hand, is literal. That is a reality right here in this circle. Right here, there is revival happening. On this side of the circle, there's revival, guys. I'm not waiting on anybody. But if we can have 300, if we could have 100 from right here in this church, that is absolutely living the reality of Christ through you. It doesn't matter if you're 12, if you're 5. It doesn't matter if you're 65 or 95. As long as you are living the life of Christ, the glory of heaven is able to be made known through you. You see, He has made visible who includes us as partners in His endless triumph. We have been called to co-labor in the co-mission of heaven. He has already made His triumph known to hell and to heaven. All hell knows it. All we have to do is go and establish it. That's what we get to do. That's why we're asking you to pray with us. On these little pamphlets, it says, between heaven and earth, let's make war together. That's what's going to happen. You guys are going to intercede here. You guys are sending us forth. You guys are praying that angels be made manifest, that the Holy Spirit would move and would heal through His people, that the name of Jesus would be glorified. You begin to pray that. It is going to happen. You can trust that He is going to do it. Because when you pray it in faith, it is His will that it be done. Amen? So if it is His will and we pray it, then so shall it be. Amen. So He includes us as partners of His endless triumph. You have been called to partner together with Him. Not just with us. We're asking you guys to partner directly with us during these next several months. As we begin to go into the jungle and then go back with these young people and begin discipleship. to begin establishing churches. We're asking you guys to partner with us, kind of relationally, but your partnership is directly with Christ in this mission. It's His covering, His tent pegs that's being extended. His name is the one that's at stake, not ours. His glory is the one that has to be made manifest, not rivers of fire, not David Hodges. His triumph, and it's endless. To His kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Through our yielded life, He spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. And with this, I want to begin bringing it to a close. We can look very clearly at the woman who brought the alabaster box. When she came with a broken life, a broken reality. She had been used. She had been shattered. She had been battered. She was worth nothing. Like, she was bringing everything before Him. She was leaving all of her reality, all of her riches, all of her hopes. Everything was going to be left at His feet that day. She's bringing this before Him, and she brings it to His feet, and she breaks it. And she begins to anoint Jesus. Now, everybody else was looking at this situation, and the Bible's clear. Everybody was kind of standoffish-ish. They were standoffish. They were still kind of in the same room, but their minds were engaged in accusation. Their mouth was engaged in accusation. Their hearts were engaged in questioning and accusation, both of her and of Jesus. They weren't really accusing her. They knew her. They were mainly accusing God, the Son of God. They were accusing Him of not knowing. They were accusing Him of allowing her to waste. There were so many different levels of accusation happening and so many levels of different questioning that was happening. But when this woman broke the alabaster box over Jesus, she came out smelling the same as Him. He came out smelling the same as her. The aroma was no different. Peter smelled like a fish. John smelled like a sweaty disciple. Matthew smelled like robbery and money. Judas, well, Judas, that's a special story. Judas smelled like a money bag. Right there is where he gets accused of being a robber, an embezzler. But this woman had the aroma of heaven, the aroma of the Son of God. And the Son of God was made manifest through the aroma that she had placed on Him. You see, our lives will always have a certain reflection on Christ, and Christ will always have a beautiful aroma through us. You see, He is made manifest as we go forth into this world. And it's not just about us going forth and preaching. When I say all of us are called in this work of evangelist, I'm not saying all of us are evangelists. And I'm not saying all of us are going to stand on the street corner, go to Walmart, and stand out. I used to do this crazy stuff. I used to do all kinds of stuff. I've learned a lot. I used to do all kinds of stuff. But we won't talk about what I did before. Those are times for teachings with young people and for youth groups and things like that. I did all kinds of stuff. But not going out and doing crazy things in the middle of Walmart or standing up in a bus station just after 9/11 and standing up and almost getting taken to jail by a SWAT team because you're preaching in a Greyhound bus station. Not those kinds of things. We won't talk about everybody going and doing those kinds of things. Hint, hint. Hint, hint. We're talking about just allowing heaven to flow through us. When you see a mother in need, being able to stop in our busy lives and being able to look at her in the eyes and say, Jesus loves you. Can I share a moment of peace with you? Can I share hope with you? There's hope for your situation. Can I share just a moment of hope with you? Can I share the message of hope? And at that moment, it's not about trying to preach John 3:16 and Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. It's about bringing hope to the moment, bringing peace to the moment, and allowing Him to draw unto Himself through us. You see, our lives become the invitation of the gospel to the people around us. Your life becomes the invitation of the gospel to people around you to come into this good news and to be participants and partakers of this good news. We are partakers in the body. We are partakers of the covenant. And by taking his body and his blood, by eating of him and drinking of him, we become one with him and he becomes one with us. And it is heaven through us that begins to draw people unto himself. There's so much that I would love to continue on and to speak. But we are the imitation of Christ. We are the image of Christ here on the earth. And God has called this church and this town and this city and your neighborhoods and your job site. He has called you to be the aroma of heaven, the aroma of the Son of God to the people around you. You see, when it says that we are in the imitation of Christ, I want to read a saying from the 12th century. Claire from the 12th century, she was part of the San Franciscan revival, and I don't think that Francis of Assisi would have loved for people to say it was the Franciscan revival, but there was this revival that happened in the 12th century among servanthood, and Claire, she writes, how are you transformed into that image of Christ? How are we transformed into the image of Christ? You must learn to gaze at the Christ. To gaze at the Christ. We have to look, not just read the scriptures, not just read the Bible, but actually gaze into the scriptures. Gaze into the Bible. When we're reading the Bible, allow our mind's eye, allow our imagination to see him, not just use the chosen. But actually to use the Word of God and to get in to see Him and to look upon Him, to gaze upon the Christ. She said, to be able to imitate Him, to be able to be transformed into His image, we must gaze at Christ. Then you must consider who He is. So that then you can contemplate Him. So it's just, she's just saying we must meditate on the Christ of heaven. We must meditate on Jesus, so that then we can imitate Him. You see, as we get into the Word and as we fall in love with the Word of God, not just reading the Bible, but when we take the Bible and we understand that He is the living Word that is there enclosed and He's there for us to bring out. And as we begin to look upon Him and fall in love with Him, and we begin to gaze upon Him, and we begin to study Him, and we begin to know Him, then we can begin to walk like Him. You see, that's our call. It's not just about going to the nations and preaching and great campaigns. It's just about knowing Him and making Him known. The mission of the Great Commission, I guess we could really just kind of sum it up in knowing Him and making Him known so that they can glorify Him. Knowing Him and making Him known so that they might glorify Him. Coming into the imitation of Christ so that all may know Him. And if some can know Him through me, then glory be to God. If some can know Him by you, glory to God, the mission of heaven is being executed right there. We get to do some of the great and exciting things that you get to see on the screen and see the numbers and hear about the stories. But if your neighborhood doesn't know Him through you, we are all called into this mission. We have all been called into the mission of heaven. Let's make Him known. Church, if I could have you stand with me. If we could have the musicians to come, and I would just like to pray with you, pray over the church. Let's turn our hearts toward Him for a moment. If you would just close your eyes with me. Jesus. 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 The beautiful one. The precious one of heaven. Lord, you are amazing. Jesus, your name shifts the atmosphere when it is declared with understanding. Your name shifts the presence of things that are existing in the spiritual realm. By declaring your name, demons flee. By lifting your name with hearts of understanding, demons run from you. Atmospheres of cities are shifted. Nations are transformed. Jesus, you are beautiful. Jesus, over this city. Jesus, we declare you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, over our towns and townships. Lord, you have been constituted the Prince of Peace. And we come to you, Lord, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are drawing all men unto yourself. God, and as a city set upon a hilltop, God, we place our lives before you and before men. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to be glorified. We ask you, Jesus, to glorify yourself. Glorify yourself. God, and allow us to be vessels of those that would know you, that would gaze upon you. God, that would contemplate you. That would, as the angels circling the throne, every time they open their wings and they look upon you, they would say, holy. God, that we would do the same, that every time we open our eyes and we open our mind's eyes and our spiritual eyes, God, that we would look and we would say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, we thank you. God, that you would set your throne in our hearts. That you would be King of Kings on our hearts. God, that you would live through our lives. God, that we would live in a state of revival every day. That our lives would be prayer manifested. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that we can live lives in prayer. That we can live lives in the presence of heaven. God, and that the heavens have been opened and are open over us. Lord Jesus, you are magnificent. God, and we come before you. God, I ask you, Lord, that we would be able to come into your presence and open our hearts and break our hearts before you, God. God, that our hands would be made clean. God, that we would live lives of repentance, recognizing, Lord Jesus, when we have made a simple mistake, God, but that we come not with condemnation, but into your love. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that the river of life flows even now, Lord God, right here in this place. God, we thank you, Lord, that revival flows from this place. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for drawing young people, for drawing youth, God, into this house. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you, God. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, for multitudes of salvation. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for constant baptisms. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. You are powerful and almighty. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for great harvest. That we stand in these times of great harvest. Lord, you are wonderful, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let your anointing on us be the sweet fragrance among men and women. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you are worthy. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Right there where you are. Just ask Jesus to make himself manifest, to make himself real, not just to you, but through you, and ask him for the ability to gaze upon him. Say, Lord Jesus, help me to gaze upon you as I read the scriptures, as I listen to the scriptures, as I listen to the Bible, as I listen to the YouVersion, God. Allow me to gaze upon you and allow my mind to see you. Allow my heart to be able to perceive you. God, as I open the scriptures, open yourself to me. Open heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for revealing yourself so beautifully. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.